This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. A number of activists and immigrant rights advocates have been traveling to various cities near the U.S.-Mexico border during the month of April under the banner of the Caravan Against Fear. Organizers described the weeks-long action as a, quote, mobilization in defense of immigrant rights to build momentum for a May 1st moratorium on business as usual to resist Trump. Traveling as part of the caravan is my guest, Laura Carlson. She's the director of the Americas Program of the Center for International Policy and a columnist for Foreign Policy in Focus and a frequent guest here on this program. Welcome back to the show, Laura.
Thank you, Sonali.
So I understand that from April 10th through the 17th, the first week of this caravan, you and your fellow caravan travelers went down the state of California, starting at a detention center. Tell us what that first week was like, why the organizers chose those particular stops. And you came through Los Angeles as well, where we are.
Right. Well, there were a couple of reasons. California, we spent a disproportionate amount of time compared to the other states because it's such an interesting case at this moment, particularly with regards to Trump's anti-immigrant policies and the real crackdown that's going on across the nation. California is the one state, really, that is standing up to those policies. Others have taken sanctuary measures locally and even some on the state level. But California is really leading the way in that sense. So that was one of the important reasons. Specifically, it had to do with supporting SB 54. Now, this is the California state sanctuary law, which in short, what it does is that it requires local and state police not to cooperate with ICE in hunting immigrants, basically, within their districts. This is very important on all levels, and we've seen this across the country as we've gone from state to state, and particularly in California. What it means is that they can't go into public schools, which terrorizes children, threatening to take. They've already had a deportation of a father who is dropping his child off at a public school. The prisons are not required to detain people once they've been released, just so ICE can come and check their immigrant status. There's a series of forms of cooperation, and local police, of course, are charged with upholding the law and going after criminals and not going after immigrants. This law has been supported, in fact, by law enforcement. Trump makes a big deal about how certain sheriffs are on his side, but we have seen time and time again that sheriffs and police chiefs in many localities are saying they absolutely do not want to have to go under these programs and work with ICE to determine the immigration status of individuals within their communities because, number one, it diverts their attention from going after real crime, and number two, it completely destroys the trust that exists within a community that's absolutely essential to community policing. That is that people will no longer, and they're already seeing this because of the scare tactics that the Trump administration has used, people will no longer feel like they can report a crime if they've witnessed it. They will no longer feel like they can go to the police when they need to on public safety issues because of either their undocumented status or the undocumented status of someone in their family or immediate circle. So that's why law enforcement is supporting this bill. It's already passed one house in the California legislature and will be coming up soon. And then the third reason we spent a lot of time in California is because much of this caravan is organized by the Service Employees International Union, and we have a number of individuals from that union, particularly from the Janitors for Justice, or rather Justice for Janitors movement, and many of them from the Los Angeles area that are accompanying us on this caravan and that are talking about how workers' rights, the rights of people in the African American community, and immigrants' rights are all tied up together.
So the second part of the caravan, I understand, was basically along the southern border, April 17th through 30th. So you're still doing that part of it, and then basically building up for May 1st. And I want to ask you to talk about May 1st in a bit, but let's talk about the southern border. Which parts of the southern border have you visited? You might be in Texas now?
Yes, it's the Caravan Against Fear. And one of the slogans actually is respect our humanity, because that's what they're asking. They're saying immigrants cannot be criminalized and marginalized to this degree so that they actually become less than human in terms of their rights within society. The southern border has been a fascinating experience for me because there's a whole culture unto itself along that border, even though we see pretty major differences between California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. It's been a marathon caravan. We've actually gone through all those states and many cities and smaller towns within them. We started the real border trek at San Ysidro, at the wall itself in California, where we had a press conference with local leaders who are talking about the forms of resistance in local organization, which include Know Your Rights, a whole campaign of telling people that they don't have to open their doors to ICE when they come knocking, that ICE still is required to have a warrant, and what the limits are to this offensive that the Trump administration has basically declared on immigrants and how they can fight back. There's also other measures to get together. They're doing a lot of campaigns across the country and in this border area, particularly for people who are eligible for citizenship to obtain that citizenship. They're doing preservation, renovation of the DACA or Dreamer status within the country, as long as that still exists. And the Dreamers themselves are organizing. In addition to this, some of the kinds of things we see is, for example, in Houston, there's a group, and there was a sheriff who came into office to replace a previous sheriff, and he was very conservative and was very much in favor of cooperating with ICE, and they have a sizable immigrant community, as well as a number of people in what's becoming a more progressive city who oppose this kind of divisive policies, and particularly the tragic separation of families that occurs with as massive deportations become more common within the country, and this whole infrastructure that the Trump administration is building for deportation begins to come into play. And they were able to organize as Dreamers, despite the fact that they can't vote, and pressure to have influence on a local campaign and change the sheriff. They actually kicked the conservative sheriff out of office. So we have an electoral component to the community organizing as well, where people are targeting sheriffs and state legislators, as well as federal legislators that are supporting the Trump agenda, and they're targeting them for the next election to kick them out. In other words, this invisible community is becoming more invisible as a result of the threats, more visible rather, as a result of the threats, and are even beginning to participate in the electoral sphere as well as the grassroots organizing side of it.
So tell us what is expected to happen on May 1st. How will your caravan be? And we just actually did an interview before this talking about the May Day events around the country, but how is the Caravan Against Fear going to mark May Day, and where will you mark it?
We're all going back to Los Angeles. This has been a very long trip. So from Texas and being at the wall in McAllen, Texas, we're actually driving back, stopping for a forum with grassroots organizations in El Paso, and then going straight on to Los Angeles. And we're all going to be in Los Angeles for the May Day events, calling for a day without immigrants, a strike, people not going to work, not going to school and not purchasing things to show both the economic and the political might of those who are resisting the Trump agenda, and particularly the anti-immigrant agenda, on May 1st and every day.
And tell us also about how, what it's been like on the caravan. I mean, where have you all been sleeping? What sort of, what has the day-to-day been like for you traveling, you know, through much of the month of April?
Well, it's an often marvelous experience. It's tiring. We sleep mostly on church floors or union Wow. halls. We have our sleeping bags. We have some cots that we pull out. We have an age range from 14 to 76.
Wow.
We've got, and their 76-year-old is one of the spunkiest women on our caravan. She's the last one to leave the parties that we have almost every night, singing music from all kinds of genres, from the Spanish and Mexican music to jazz and folk songs. We have a real mixed group of about 50 people. We have a group from Mexico, mostly doing a lot of the media and filming of the caravan itself.
And you're generally based in Mexico, right, Laura? That's usually where we speak to you from.
Yeah, I came up for this caravan and have been helping out with that, with the Rompepiteve coverage of the caravan in Spanish and English. We also have other journalists, a few other journalists. Then we have a very large group from SEIU that includes members in African American community as well as Latinos on the caravan. And so it's been interesting in that sense, because there's been a lot of talk of Black-Brown alliances that are being forged at this moment in the history of the United States, when both are under a far more acute threat than has been the case in the past. But they're also seeing the way that this has built up historically and been a part of U.S. history, and beginning to understand why those alliances are so important and putting a lot more into building them. We're also seeing the creation of more binational alliances between the United States and Mexico, because Mexico as an entire nation faces threats from the Trump administration that go from the threat to cut off remittances, which would devastate some of the poorest communities in Mexico, to imposing taxes, and then of course what Mexicans themselves are feeling as immigrants within the United States. Those kinds of alliances and cultural getting to know one another are taking place all the time. I think the attitude from the beginning has been so open and friendly that it's been easy to form friendships that we hope will be kind of a microcosm of the society that we want to see in the United States, not where one group is criminalized and marginalized and eventually expelled from the country despite having contributed as community members for decades in many cases. I mean, they're deporting people who in some cases don't even remember Mexico or where they came from, because they came to the United States so young. This is their home. And then, of course, by exporting some family members and not others in families that are called mixed, meaning they have a mixed immigration status within the same family, they're breaking them up. There's a lot of concern. There's a lot of heartbreak in the sense of what this does, particularly to children, and the absolute ignorance of creating, you know, with U.S. residents who are children, sending their mothers or their fathers, or even in some cases, both parents back to Mexico, of creating children who don't have the kind of guidance and the kind of love they need during their upbringing. It's cruel, and it's potentially creates more problems for society on up the road.
Well, Laura, give out a website where people can read about what has been happening on the caravan, see the images, et cetera, and just sort of follow along the journey that you and others have taken this past month.
Yes, absolutely. Their website is caravanagainstfear.org. There's a blog that we have to update. It's just one thing after another, and it's difficult to find time to write, but there's a blog that has a number of activities on it that's written by myself and a Native American member of the caravan. And there's also a number of videos and short texts and Facebook posts that can be found there. There's a Facebook post also called Caravan Against Fear, and if you use the hashtag Against Fear, you can find what the individual members have been posting along the trail as well.
That's caravanagainstfear.org. Laura, thank you so much for joining us, and maybe I'll see you on the streets of LA on May Day.
Yep, that would be great. Hope to see everybody there. Thanks, Sonali.
Thank you. My guest is Laura Carlson, Director of the Americas Program of the Center for International Policy and a columnist for Foreign Policy in Focus. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.